Hey everyone, welcome back once again to the Retro Break podcast. In this week's episode, we'll be talking about my game collecting habits and how they've changed over the years. So to kick things off, I'm going to talk about how I'm thinking about game collecting this year in particular. And I kind of brought this up in my last video when I came back from the London Gaming Market. And I mentioned in that video that I'm, from now on, only going to be collecting games complete in box. Well, I kind of already broke that rule because I've just came back a few hours ago, actually, from MegaCon in Birmingham, and I bought one loose game from there, and that was just because I was kind of bored. I'd been there, you know, helping out my girlfriend at the table and stuff, and I went for a walk around, and I found a really cool game for the Game Gear, actually, Outrun, which I'll be showing off in a future video. But from now on, mostly I'll just be collecting complete in box, and as well as that, I'll mostly only be collecting games that I want to show in future videos. So I've got a lot of videos planned, things like Hidden Gems videos or things like Top Games videos for various different systems, and also things like Top Games in a specific genre as well, once I've exhausted all the possibilities of the other two. So I've got a load of lists written down in my notes for games that I want to try and find, and in order to show them off on a video, I think it's really nice to be able to actually show off the proper full physical package, including the box, the manual, and the game as well. Now I've got my permanent top-down camera just above me now where I'm recording, actually. I really like to be able to show off the front and the back of the box, and then a little bit of gameplay too. I think it adds something extra to the video that you don't get from a lot of other channels. So that's the main reason why I want to try and collect complete in box from now on. There is another reason as well, and that is display purposes and for my own personal enjoyment too. So as I'm sure you've seen throughout my videos, my room is just becoming more and more filled up, and I've just got loose cartridges stacked around all sorts of different places as well. So I feel like if I can try and get the box and manual for the games that I have loose, and then I can actually display them nicely on the shelf, rather than them just being locked away in a plastic tub somewhere, completely forgotten about. I've got stacks of tubs behind me just full of loose Super Nintendo and Mega Drive games, and it would be great if I could get the boxes and put them on the shelf behind me in order to display them nicely. And I find that the games that I have complete in box, I have a lot more personal attachment to as well. Like, you've probably noticed by now, but I love looking through game manuals and just admiring the artwork in them and the artwork on the packaging as well. And if you've just got the cartridge, you don't really get that full collector's experience. And at that point, it's only really one step away from just playing the ROM. So I really like to collect everything to do with a specific game. And I think that's more from an artistic and sort of historical point of view, rather than just from the point of view of the game itself. And like I said, also looks really nice on camera, and I just love being able to hold the full box as well. So that's another reason why. And also, it will just make my collection in general a little less overwhelming. So I want to try and do away with loose games completely. I don't know whether that's like selling the games that I've got loose, or whether it's upgrading them to games that are complete in box, or whether it's storing the loose games away and having a list of them. But I don't really want all my games in this one room here, because it is getting a little bit unmanageable. I've pretty much maxed out every sort of storage space that I've got here. And it's the same in the loft as well. There's just boxes of loose games. So it'd be great if I could get some of them out and display them nicely in the room. As well as that, another way I've been thinking of trying to tidy up the game room a little bit, and that is to maybe narrow down the amount of games that I've got out for each system. I really don't need to display or show everything. And especially for things like the Wii or the DS, where I've just got like 200 plus games at this point, and the majority of it is just random games that I've amassed over the years that don't really hold any specific meaning or purpose. I would like to kind of trim those collections down, but I don't really want to get rid of the games just in case I regret it later. And I have done that in the past, where I've sold a bunch of games and then I've regretted it and I've ended up buying them back at a higher price. So rather than doing away with the games altogether, what I was thinking of doing is narrowing down the games that are on the shelf to my 15 favorite games for the system, so the games that I show off in my top 15 video, and then maybe 15 interesting games, maybe valuable games, or, you know, games that I'm proud of to actually own in my personal collection. So I think it'd be really cool if I can somehow narrow down all the different consoles that I've got in this room down to just 30 games for each one. And that would actually free up some space as well to do some nice displays on specific, maybe series, I don't know, like maybe I could have a shelf dedicated to Mega Man, which is something that I've always wanted, or, you know, maybe depending on the sort of video I'm doing that week, I'll have a space where I can fill the shelf up with games from a specific series or genre, and then I can just use that space and move the camera around it. Like if I'm doing a retrospective on, I don't know, the Zelda series, I can put all of the Zelda games together on one shelf and I'll have the room to sort of move things around like that. I also had the idea, and I don't know how feasible this is, of having a shelf or two shelves for games that I've got in, so like games that I'm saving up to do a pickups video on, or new games that I'm waiting to play as well, and have a specific area just for them. And then when I have played them, when I've shown them on the channel, when they've got their use as a content, I guess, then I can take them off that shelf and then file them away properly, whether that's on the shelf with the right system, or whether that's putting it away in storage and documenting the fact that I own it. So I'm kind of working through that in my head, and now that I've actually tidied my room up a little bit, I can kind of think about what I want to do with it next. So maybe in the next game room tour that should be coming later on this year, I might have something more interesting to show and kind of a more unique way of structuring my collection as well. And as well as that, keeping in topic of structuring the collection, I've decided now actually to have a cutoff point for the games that I actually want to show on my shelves in this particular game room and the sort of stuff that I want visible on the channel. And that is that I'm going to cut it off at the HD era. So I've got a bunch of games in the room from things like the Xbox 360 and PS3 and the Wii U. I'm going to either take all of them downstairs or box them all up and put them in the loft or the garage or something and free up that space for things from the previous generations, because that's kind of my focus. That's what I want to collect more of. And also I've got all the capture equipment behind me to capture all of the analog games. So I don't really want the HD consoles cluttering up that space, and I can easily play them downstairs if I want and capture footage that way. So that's another way that I'm going to be trying to clear out the room a little bit too. It'd be really cool to know what you guys think about when you're designing your own game rooms as well. So let me know in the comments if you're listening here on YouTube, or let me know in a voice memo if you're listening over on Spotify. There's a link in the description to send me voice memos. And I always love when I hear off you guys as well, because it's so cool to know that people actually listen to this podcast. It's something that I started with no intentions of ever growing it at all. So it's always really exciting for me when I find out that people actually listen to this when it comes out. It's so cool. Anyway, on to the next part of the podcast, which is the games that I've been playing recently. And I haven't really had that much free time. I've been trying to make a few extra videos because I've got a lot of stuff coming up over the next few weeks, so I wanted to try and get a little bit ahead. I have been playing a little bit of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth though, and I'm really enjoying what little time I've had with it so far. I'm just at the end of chapter 4 now, and it's going really well. I'm really enjoying it, and hopefully I can play a little bit more next week too. Apart from that, I've also been still playing Puzzle & Dragon Stories on the iPad and iPhone whenever I get some time before bed. That's sort of my bedtime game, and I'm really enjoying that. It is a little bit of a grind though, but I just love the gameplay, and I love all the designs for the different monsters and people that you find in that game. It's so much fun. And I'm still really upset that they got rid of the original mobile version, because I got so far in that one. And then, obviously, you know how it is with digital games. Only progress, all that years of hard work just lost forever. So I'm expecting the same to happen one day with this version, so I'm not going too full on with it. Hopefully it'll stick around for a while. And the only other game that I've played recently outside of streaming anyway, I was playing a little bit of SSX on tour because I hooked the GameCube up a few days ago, and I just remembered how much I loved those EA Sports big titles like the SSX series. And on tour is the SSX game that probably gets an undeserved bad rep, I would say. I really like that game. I love the style they went with. Maybe the structure isn't as good as SSX3. They kind of did away with the open world aspect. It's kind of there, but for the majority of the game, you're just choosing missions from a map, which kind of gets rid of a little bit of the feel of the world. But, you know, once you get into the gameplay feels amazing. The soundtrack is fantastic. The graphics look amazing still to this day. I don't know what magic EA did with the SSX series, but they all just seem so smooth, and the frame rate, the animations, everything's just so perfect. And I really wish they would bring that series back. There was talks of some of the original developers making a new snowboarding game, but I think the new company that they set up either went bankrupt or they ended up splitting up and going their own separate ways or something. But I don't think that project's happening anymore, which is a real shame because I really do love those games. And at some point, I was thinking maybe I'll actually stream the SSX series and maybe make a video on it. That was actually one of the first video retrospective that I actually did way back in 2007, I think. So I think it's time to do a new one, honestly. And that's it for games that I've been playing. Now let's talk about some of the projects I've been working on. So on the train, on the way up to the London Gaming Market, and a little bit in the hotel room that night as well, I've still been very slowly writing my gaming history book, or more like writing too much and then splitting it out into another volume. So I'm really struggling for some reason to decide what content to put into the first one. And every time I get far enough into thinking, yeah, this is going to make a good few chapters, I then end up thinking, this is going to make a great book. So I ended up cutting those chapters out and putting them in a draft for another volume. So I actually have 6 different volumes planned now, all in various different stages of being written. So I really need to decide what that first one's going to be and just focus on that rather than coming up with all these other ideas which are just big enough to be their own complete topics. So yeah, kind of struggling with the book at the minute. I'm enjoying the research and stuff. Again, maybe this is going to splinter off into its own book again, but the research I've been looking into at the minute is actually the history of board games and analog games and card games and parlor games. And again, you can just see my mind just racing with all the possibilities of what could be in there. And that could be volume 7. So I don't know where to draw the line and how much of it should be this deep look into the history of games or how much of it should be sort of a light touch. And then you can go away and do your own research after, or I have no idea. I know that I want to talk about, I mean, worldwide history. Again, that's probably its own topic completely. The first one, I just kind of want to be an overview, like a celebration of video game history and sort of interesting pieces for you to maybe learn about for the first time or something. I have no idea. It's probably going to take me a while longer to figure out how to properly structure it. And the other project outside of my channel that I'm working on is, again, my game Super Donuts, which is very, very slowly becoming a PC version. There's still a lot of stuff that needs fixing. Most of the boss fights don't work, and I really can't figure out why. I've tried recreating them, and the game just crashes whenever you enter the boss room. I don't know whether it's something to do with the variables being broken to check whether you've actually done a boss fight or not, or whether it's something that I programmed wrong with that specific type of enemy. I have no idea, so I need to try and fix all that. The other thing that I've been doing to try and tidy up the pace of the game a little bit is to have the same amount of collectibles in each level. And this was a kind of idea that I based on something like Banjo-Kazooie or Mario 64, where you start the level and there's 100 things to find in each one. And I felt like having the same amount in each level kind of gives you an idea of what to expect before you go into it. Whereas before, some levels would have like 20 sweets to collect and then some other ones would have like 300. And there was no sort of rhyme or reason. So I created a new type of sweet which adds 10 to your score. So for some of the smaller levels, you'll actually have bunches of sweets, kind of like in Banjo-Tooie, where you find bunches of 5 or 10 notes. And I'm kind of using that for the smaller levels, and then for the bigger ones, it's just 100 individual ones for you to find. So I'm still kind of working on it. I have no idea when it's going to come out. And before it does, I want to do a video on my main channel talking about some of my game dev projects over the years, and then sort of announce Super Donuts is making a return at the end of that. So look forward to that at some point in the future too. And in terms of content, the final part of the podcast, I haven't really had a chance to watch that much YouTube or anything recently. There was a really cool video by a channel called 8-Bit Music Theory about how the soundtrack in the Pokemon trading card game for the Game Boy Color was made. And that is just fascinating because the Game Boy Color only has 3 sound channels, but the soundtrack in Pokemon trading card game for the Game Boy Color just sounds like it has way more going on than it actually does. And it's just a really clever trick where they swap the channels, or they have overlapping notes, and the way it comes together makes it seem like the melody has a lot more going on than it actually does. So I definitely recommend checking out that video if you check the links in the description to this podcast. I've also been watching some old GDQ speedruns of ActRaiser 2 because I was really struggling playing that on stream. So I thought maybe if I watch some videos about it, maybe I'll learn something from some people. And I did learn some ideas for some boss fights. But I am going to give that game a bit of a rest because every time I try and play it on stream, I just end up quitting and getting so frustrated that I can't make any progress. So I'm going to try and do a little bit on my own outside of streams, and then maybe in a few weeks' time, I'll come back and hopefully there will be a little bit of improvement and we can get a little bit further in it because I do want to try and complete it. And as well as that, I also bought a book called The Creative Act, which I'm going to be taking away when we go on a little weekend getaway in a few weeks' time. So I'm looking forward to reading that and kind of, you know, just switch my mind off for a bit and not thinking about anything else that I'm trying to work on and just read through that book. That was The Creative Act by Rick Rubin, and I've been listening to some of his interviews and stuff around that and some of the podcasts he's been on, and it sounds like something that will really help me with creating content on YouTube and kind of getting into that headspace to make more interesting content as well, rather than just churning out the same thing over and over again because I know it will do well. Hopefully, I'll be able to find some new style that will resonate with people and maybe branch out into something a bit new, because YouTube is becoming a little bit of a grind and I don't really want it to. So hopefully that will sort of help me experiment with some new styles of video and maybe make things a little bit better for me going forward. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. Really hope you enjoyed this episode. Again, it's a very late one, just a few hours before it needs to go live, ready for Monday morning. So hopefully you're all having a good Monday morning and you look forward to the week ahead. That's it for now. I'll see you all again here in 2 weeks' time for another episode. Goodbye.